Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Money Talking from WNYC. I'm Charlie Herman. And if you're like some people listening to this show right now, you're in your car and maybe you're stuck in traffic. Well, if proponents of self-driving cars are right, in the not-too-distant future, driving might be more like this.
It's really cool. It was like really kind of a space-age experience.
Okay. Say goodbye to bumper-to-bumper traffic because your car is going to be talking to all the other cars on the road. The one next to you, that SUV behind you, the pickup truck that's a mile ahead. Your car is going to anticipate things before you even know about them. So there won't be any more last-minute lane changes, no more distracted drivers. Those little human errors that can cause gridlock or accidents, gone.
So if I had a self-driving car, I could spend more time hanging out with my kids or helping them with their homework, even just tending to them.
This is from a video from Google demonstrating its self-driving cars. And it now has 25 of them that are registered to drive on the streets of California. Audi and Mercedes also have permits for these type of cars. All of this is pretty remarkable when you consider that just over 10 years ago, the first government-funded competition that tested self-driving vehicles was a huge flop.
The reason that so many people were skeptical that driverless technology would ever be possible was because the very act of driving is hard to describe in a language that can be easily explained to a machine or to a computer.
This is Cardiff Garcia, an editor with the Financial Times. And he's been looking at these cars and what it will mean for business, for the economy, and for us.
What's interesting here is that it suggests that machines don't have to be just like humans to do human activities. Also means that they don't have to be just like human beings to do human jobs. And so obviously one of the things everybody focuses on when we talk about driverless cars or any other kind of automation technology is whether or not they're going to displace parts of the human labor market. You know, it's even weird to talk about a human labor market, right? I mean, it's such a weird concept.
What do you think is driving the impetus to create these self-driving cars? Like, why do we need them?
I mean, imagine all the benefits. If we really get this technology right, there's a great chance that they'll be much, much safer. And so far, in the Google driving tests that have been done in California, that's proven to be the case. They're designed to be to drive very conservatively. And I think in the future, that's probably one great benefit, that the roads will simply be much safer.
When it comes to sort of disruptive technologies or, you know, brand new technologies, that there's really an early embrace and excitement about it. And then a lot of questions from the regulators that come in and say, we don't actually like the way you're working. You're actually putting people out of work maybe. So how does that get addressed? Because it feels like it's going faster than the regulation is.
I'm more intrigued and I'm more, I guess you could say, worried about how we're going to solve the ethical dilemmas than I am the legal and the regulatory side. I think eventually those will catch up, if only because people will eventually start to see slowly the benefits of this technology. But
give me one of those conflicts.
Absolutely. So let's say you're in a car and you're riding in it. It's going down the street. Let's say that there are, in fact, some kids, I don't know, playing basketball in the driveway, and a few of them jump out into the road in front of the car. Okay. Does the car swerve to the left and possibly hit the kids that are still on the driveway? Or does it keep going and hit the one or two kids if there are a fewer number of kids, you know, in the road in front of you?
This goes back to the regulation question because, right, you know, every state has their own series of regulations. Could you end up with these self-driving cars that have sort of different ethical decisions that they make?
It's an intriguing issue, and it's one that I think is going to bring together a lot of technologists, but also people like philosophers and economists who are going to try to figure out, you know, the economic angle to this.
Well, let's look at that economic angle, because
sure,
if you suddenly start having driverless cars everywhere, does that put the people who, you know, drive trucks around, does that put taxi drivers out of work?
It's not just taxi drivers and truck drivers. It's also, I mean, these autonomous vehicles could also be used inside factory floors. So people who work in factories carrying things back and forth, or even the people who usually just tell the machines that already operate where to go, all this stuff can be automated from some other room. I think it'll be another technology that has a potential to really displace a huge swath of the labor market. This is one industry where we can almost trace the path from the technology to the widespread acceptance in society to the workers that are going to lose their jobs.
Cardiff Garcia is with the Financial Times. So what does it feel like to lift your foot off the pedal and let go of the wheel when you're going 80 miles an hour? Will Knight knows firsthand. He's an editor at the MIT Technology Review, and he test drove one of these cars on the Autobahn in Germany, where there's no speed limit.
I was extremely nervous to begin with, but a very strange thing happened after a couple of minutes, you know, as it maneuvered through the traffic, honestly better than I could. I felt more and more confident with it till I was really just ready to not even pay attention to the road.
I was wondering if that's part of the problem, that people just stop paying attention because accidents usually happen in that fraction of a second. And if you're not paying attention, is that when things might happen?
Right. That's a big problem potentially. And all of the experts I've spoken to have singled that out as perhaps the biggest issue to be solved, because the systems do not work perfectly by any means. And so it needs to be possible for someone to take over when they have to. And that kind of directly contradicts the idea that you're going to be able to, you know, kick back and read a book or take a nap or something. And so the experts at BMW, for example, said they figured out that it takes about 8 seconds for somebody who's completely unengaged to properly pay attention and be able to take over in an emergency.
Did you leave more optimistic or more doubtful that we're going to see these cars on the road sooner than we think?
A lot of the hype or excitement over automated driving is a little bit ahead of the actual technology.
What are some of those obstacles that researchers still haven't solved?
These systems really rely on very, very accurate maps. And so if anything deviates from that map, that can be a real problem.
Can you give me an example of obstacles or different maps or positioning problems?
So a mapping problem that might be encountered would be where there were roadworks on the road. So one of these temporary lights had been put up, and if there's a police officer there waving the car to drive, it's almost certainly going to have to hand control back to the driver and say, I just can't handle this.
Will, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Will also went to Michigan, where they're building a fake town to test how these cars work in the real world. You can hear more of our conversation at moneytalking.org. There's still a lot to figure out when it comes to self-driving cars.
Cars might themselves someday be subject to cyber attacks, right? They're going to be connected by some kind of internet-like mechanism. You're going to have to develop some kind of way of protecting cars from being hacked.
The future is closer than you think. Cadillac plans to release a car in 2017 that will drive itself down the highway. Would you miss driving? Let us know. Send an email to moneytalking@wnyc.org. I'm Charlie Herman, and this is Money Talking from WNYC.